The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has become a powerful and often secret force in election campaigns. In the year 2000 and again this year, the business group is buying political ads for races that normally don't get much notice. The chamber is targeting elections for judgeships and state attorney general. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports from Seattle.
Deborah Senn, Washington State's former insurance commissioner, sees herself as a champion of the little guy, taking on big insurance companies and helping to forge massive multi-state settlements on behalf of consumers. It's hardly surprising, then, that some business interests would prefer that she not become Washington State's next attorney general. Candidate Deborah Senn.
I was sitting in front of the TV at 6:55 a.m. the Thursday morning before Labor Day, looking for my ads because they had just gone up on the air, and I saw this negative ad on me.
A record of failure. As insurance commissioner, Deborah Senn's new rules and regulations on insurance companies led to a crisis that prevented many working families from getting adequate health insurance for over 2 years.
The ad was sponsored by a group called the Voters Education Committee, but exactly who was funding the massive ad campaign was a mystery. The state's Public Disclosure Commission requested financial information but was rebuffed. It was only after the state filed a lawsuit that the Chamber of Commerce was revealed as the sole contributor. Senn notes that the amount involved, $1.4 million, was the largest expenditure ever by an outside special interest group in a state primary.
It was secret. It was anonymous. It skirted our state laws. And most importantly, it was an attempt to control a primary election here in the state of Washington.
Despite the chamber's efforts, Senn went on to win the Democratic primary and now faces Republican County Council member Rob McKenna in the November election. The contest in Washington State is just one of dozens of races the chamber is likely to be involved in. They are expected to spend tens of millions of dollars in an effort to elect sympathetic judges and attorneys general in about 25 states.
This is a very important, high-stakes public policy debate that's going on.
Sean McBride of the Chamber's Institute for Legal Reform says his organization is trying to counter what he calls the enormous influence of trial lawyers.
For decades and decades, the trial bar recognized the importance of campaign contributions to these Supreme Court candidates and attorneys general candidates because they understood the importance of having kindred spirits in those offices.
What we're doing, he continues, is making sure voters know which judicial candidates are fair and balanced and exercise restraint, and which ones don't. While contributions to judicial races by individuals must be disclosed, very few states require organizations, such as the Chamber, to disclose expenditures made through other groups. So far, the Chamber of Commerce has focused its efforts in places seen as havens for class action suits and where the courts are viewed as anti-business, among them courts in Illinois, Mississippi, and West Virginia. Steve Roberts, head of the West Virginia Chamber, says the state Supreme Court docket tells the story there.
We measured one particular recent term of the court in which 65% of the court's caseload was workers' compensation related, and the claimant won in 89% of those cases.
The National Chamber is expected to focus its West Virginia effort on defeating Supreme Court Justice Warren McGraw. He tips the balance in cases decided by a 3-2 vote. There's no doubt that the chamber's effort has paid off handsomely. In recent elections, candidates favored by the chamber reportedly won 21 of 24 races. The vast infusion of money that the chamber and its business allies have contributed to judicial races has prompted the legal community in many states to increase its expenditures as well. Bert Brandenburg of the nonpartisan group Justice at Stake says Supreme Courts are increasingly being treated as naked political prizes.
The problem is that Supreme Courts in a number of states are increasingly being seen as places for special interest groups to get their way, as opposed to courts of law that rule fairly and impartially.
Voters in 38 states elect Supreme Court judges. The idea was to let the people, not men in a smoke-filled room, select members of the state's highest court. But if massive campaign contributions pervert the process, then the democratic ideal on which judicial elections were based could be lost. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.